be a good welcome again to everyone and express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So we're glad that you're with us. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. First of all, my thanks goes to those who filled in for me last week in my absence, our absence, our family. We're visiting family and friends up in the Morro Bay area. So I appreciate Clarence had the Bible class in my place last Lord's Day morning. And Dennis Everett had the morning sermon. And like him, I will be brief. I'm just going to turn it off. Can't hear me, just kind of hold up your hand, and that won't mean much either. My eyesight's going. I may not be able to see your hand. But please follow along as we go to the lesson. The title comes from the text that was read to us this morning. The phrase, "You are an epistle of Christ." Reread the verse and have these in your notes. Verse 2. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Interesting, the next phrase begins with the word clearly. Kind of like unmistakably. Without a doubt. It's obvious, isn't it? Clearly. You are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tables or tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. And then he explains that, says that is of the heart. So put by definition, you should know what an epistle is. It's a message written from one person or group to another person or group. Think of it as a letter. So he says, you, and that's us, all of us as Christians, are an epistle of Christ. Now the text helps us with that definition. It said, written not with ink, not on tablets of stone, but written by the Spirit of the living God. Tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So put in your notes, there are six qualities or characteristics or descriptions of a letter or an epistle. One is an author, in other words, someone writes that letter. Someone has composed it. Second, we'll talk about style, particular quality that distinguishes it from others. Now, if I ask you this morning to submit a writing sample, we would see different marks or characteristics of style in the way that you and I write. That would identify you as the author. Might be the letter size. Not all of us write with the same size lettering. Or the spacing. Or the slant of the letters, or the legibility. I can always identify certain people as writings. If Christine leaves me a note, it doesn't have to be signed. Oh, that's Christine's writing. She received several cards this week, and one of the cards that we received, I didn't even have to see who it's from. That's Robin Staniszewski. She writes with the letter slanted incorrectly. They slant to the left. It's usually we write to the right or straight up. There's a characteristic style. Number three, in a letter, there's a medium or something that serves as the material on which it is written. Number four, there's a message. In other words, there's a thought that's conveyed to the reader. Talk about the content. the ideas that are presented. Number five is the instrument. Something made the mark on that material. You know, whether it be a pencil, a pen, or paint. Last one is a purpose. Why'd you write? You know, so a letter or an epistle is written to be read, understood, was intended for someone. So let's take a look at these characteristics. Where did my poems go? On the back of your notes, just that first one. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Don't hate men too quick. I don't want to hear a sermon. I'd rather see one. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counseling is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you may deliver may be very wise and true. And I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give. Oh, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. You and I are an epistle of Christ. So let's note these. Number one, an author. Of course, the author who we've been noting in our reading and in the notes, the author is Christ. You and I are an epistle of Christ. Jesus elected other men to write the story of his life. He wrote you and me. He's supposed to. In other words, we might say that you and I are God's latest manuscript. We're his message. We're God's trumpet call. We're a living broadcast. The Bible message. Now you understand it because thousands in every city will not enter our building to hear the message of salvation. But they do get the message of Christ and his church because they read us. You and I are an epistle of Christ. When others read us, they need to see the author of our lifestyle. We're not to write our own religious life by our own thoughts or ideas. We don't make up or determine what this epistle of Christ looks like. We are an epistle of Christ. He's the author. Number two, there's a characteristic style. In other words, that which distinguishes us from others. I put a little note in your notes. You know, when a forensic investigator looks at a document to determine its author or authenticity, one thing they look at is that writing style in the document. Well, there's something about us that has characteristic style that should identify the author of our life. For example, in Matthew 26, verse 73, the story of Peter at the crucifixion of Jesus. He's off in a distance, but there are others that come by and they keep asking him, "Aren't you one of his?" Then in Matthew 26, verse 73, it says, "A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you.'" There was a characteristic lifestyle that identified him with Jesus as being the author of his life. There's another illustration in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John are preaching in Jerusalem. People didn't like what they were preaching. But then when the leaders of the city, the verse says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. When people read us, do they read that we have been with Jesus? By our lifestyle. That characteristic life that distinguishes us from others. Just as your writing samples would. In Ephesians 4 verse 7 says, this I say therefore, testifying the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. See, there's something about us that should distinguish us, and that Jesus is the author of our life. Number three, characteristic of a letter or an epistle is that it's written on something. Of course, our text is that you are an epistle of Christ written not with ink, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. Quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31, the Hebrew writer, and I put this in your notes, not the Jeremiah 31, but the Hebrew writer. Hebrews 8, verse 8. Said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. New covenant, New Testament. In verse 10, he says, for this is the covenant. All right, what is it? I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be to me my people. See, God wants the message taken from the printed page and put in our mind and heart. The people will not always read the printed page, but they will read us. And we need to be sure that what they read is that which is lifted off the printed page. We are God's tablet. And we need to take His message to heart. Number four, and that is that part of it, the message itself, the content, the thought. What do we want presented? When you write a letter, there's something that you want the other person to receive. Might be some information, might be an announcement. Or just a greeting. Hello, hi, how are you? But there's something that you want conveyed to them. Well, same thing when we are the epistle of Christ. There's something that God wants conveyed to others by the life that we live. The content. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh. So now here we are as believers. The content of our life should exemplify that. That's the content that we want others to see. We want to live in such a way that others know to whom we belong and on whose side we stand. That's the content of the message that we present. The life of Christ. So the question is, what do others read when they read us? What's the message that we send out? If everyone's epistle read like mine, what would this congregation look like? You are our epistle. written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Our life will be read. When you receive a letter, you don't say, oh, well, it's from SDG&E, maybe. But if it's a personal letter, I want to sit down and I'm going to read. I wonder what they want to say. There's a message. Number five, something makes the imprint or the mark in your life and mine. In the text, the identifying mark in your life and mine is identified. Begins in verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, written not with ink, no, but by the Spirit of the living God. So we are not to be guided in our lifestyle by an earthly mark, but rather it's a heavenly and it's a spiritual mark that makes an impact on our heart. It's a text. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 25, if you live in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. There's a spiritual mark in your life and mine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, don't you know that you're the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you know that? That Spirit makes a mark in our life. And we live by that. We walk by it. He said in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, you're not your own. No. But sometimes people want to take the pen away from God and allow the world to write your life. Sometimes people and even brethren want to say to God, give me that pen. I'll write it the way I want to. You know, the Word of God, the Spirit says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, give me that pen. I'm too busy to assemble today. My favorite sports team is playing at 10 o'clock. Give me that pen, God. You're not going to write my life. You're not going to make an imprint on my life. Give me that pen. The pen of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Give me that pen. I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to write down, God, I'll give you first place when it's convenient. Give me that pen, God. We don't want God to make the imprint on our life. We want to write it according to what we think is best, or what we like, where we're not inconvenienced. The pen of God says, repent and be baptized. Give me that pen. Don't be baptized? You know how much out of the way I have to go to do that? That's ridiculous, God. I don't see it that way. Give me that pen. So people begin to rewrite the Bible in their lives, and they dip the pen, not in the Spirit of God, but in the ink of self-serving. And then the Christ-like message is blurred. The last one, number six. The epistle has a purpose. You want it read. I'm going to write you a letter. There's an expectation you're going to open it and read it. I'm writing you a letter. Same thing with God's letter to us in the pages of the Bible. There's an expectation that it be read. If it's not going to be read, there's an expectation that the apostles, Jesus sent to all the world, would preach that message. So if you don't read it, we need to spread that word and tell it. And if people aren't going to hear us, they're going to see us. See that message. Matthew 5, verse 13 says, you're the salt of the earth. Yeah. We need to create a thirst for God in others by the way that we live. You're the light of the world. You need to let that light shine as the verse continues, so the men may see, and they will see. But when they see us, it should bring glory to God. You can't put your life in the drawer. Close with this one. It's in your notes. There's a sweet old story, translated for men, but written in the long, long ago. The gospel by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of Christ and his mission below. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, oh, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Men read and admire the gospel of Christ, with its love so unfailing and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? 'Tis a wonderful story, that gospel of love, as it shines in the Christ life divine. And oh, that his truth might be told again in the story of your life and mine. Unselfishness mirrors in every scene. Love blossoms on every sod. And back from its vision, the heart comes to tell the wonderful goodness of God. You're writing each a letter to men. Take care that the writing is true. 'Tis the only gospel some men will read, that gospel according to you. Wow. I just put in those two. We're not authorized to change authors. You can. But remember, you're an epistle of Christ. He writes your life and mine for sure. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Now remember, the New Testament church, you have an opportunity to become a Christian by being baptized for remission of sins. We also use this opportunity while brethren are gathered together to ask for strength or encouragement, to ask for help in time of need, if you haven't done so already through one means or another. But we're going to sing this song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that invitation. If that's your resolve, if that's your desire, come and let your request be known in a public way. Please do so. Let's stand together and sing the song of invitation.